Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Del, along with Trey, this morning here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tomorrow, I believe, I haven't heard, but I think it's going to be in the national shows.
Yes, it's with you and Lance both out. They're just going to go national tomorrow. First local programming will be Charlie at 11.
Okay, and then on Thursday and Friday, it's going to be you and Lance finishing up
the
show.
Well, as it's currently
sitting. It's currently constructed.
Correct.
You two will finish it up because you guys are like best friends.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Almost, you know, I'm going to approach that as well as everyone accepted the news yesterday because that continued throughout the day.
It was a fun day. It was a great day.
Yeah.
And so for those of you who haven't heard, Del is going to be moving to produce afternoon or midday, mid-morning and midday shows. And Lance and I will continue, and Aaron's going to be our new producer here on the show.
Have you had the conversation with Aaron about his Twitter handle?
I have not. Aaron is blitzed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what it is? Yeah. Aaron is benched is what he needs to. He needs to pick that up.
That's not a great. It's not a great handle.
Well, that's all right. But it's still appropriate. He's no longer blitzed. He's benched. So we got to get that straightened. That needs to be straightened out. And then we got the afternoon show, a new afternoon show with Jake Asman and Cody Stutz and Brad Kellner. Brad Kellner is actually going to be joining us here on the show this morning at 8:30.
What's he want to talk about?
Brad is going to talk about moving to the city of Houston.
Ah.
From Austin.
Is he going to come in?
Yeah, he's going to be here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Why?
it's kind of awkward. I don't know Brad.
It's not at all awkward. Well, he's a new show host here.
We don't know if it'll be awkward or not. It could be.
No, it's not going to be not awkward at all.
I'm not good with people I don't know.
Well, I'm right there with you, Trey.
Well, you're not good with people anyway. Even people you know, don't know. I mean,
it takes a while.
This thing that you have going on with Lance, you guys are best friends, and you continue to say things that are opposite of that.
You're talking about me?
Yes,
you. I thought you're still talking about Trey.
No, you.
I don't have an issue with Lance. I'm pretty clear on how I feel about him.
You don't.
I don't have an issue. I'm pretty certain. But I'm with Trey. It's a new person he's never met. It's gonna be interesting. And he said awkward. I'm not sure it'll be awkward.
It won't be awkward. It'll just be
different.
Different.
Right?
Yeah.
You'll just say hi and you know, because of the staff and how it's situated, you may at some point be producing that show, filling in.
He'll be all like, hey, I'll never see you again. Nice to meet you this one time.
That's
not true. You're around.
Yeah, I'm around.
We see you a lot around here.
And you're the go-to fill-in producer. Yeah. So at some point, you may produce that show.
I'm like the Ryan Fitzpatrick.
They won't even know.
Jacoby Brissett.
When Andrew Carlson leaves and you step in, they won't even know that there's a difference.
Exactly.
Well, right?
They'll know there's a difference.
No, it's like the same guy.
It's not the same guy.
Is Del saying that because I'm going to mess up?
No, I'm just saying you're not the same guy. There's a different vibe between you and Andrew. That's all.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. He's much more attractive than me.
These are words I wasn't even leaning into. I was just saying that you have different personalities, clearly. That's all.
Big time.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got some changes that start next week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I didn't even know all of this was going on, and yet I had scheduled a little getaway. So I won't be here for the next 3 days right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You just tossed a match and watched it burn and walked out. That's what you're doing.
So here we go into a new era in Cal Media Radio. So we'll get, hey, listen, everybody's like, why would you AJ left a gaping hole. So we had a lot of stuff that we had to figure out. So that's what we're doing here.
Yeah. So if you have issues with anyone,
it's AJ's fault.
Tweet that dude in Vegas. I'm not even going to name him anymore. He's dead to me. Yeah. But if you want to tweet him, take out your issues on him.
Yeah, it's AJ's fault. This is AJ, so this is squarely on him. So there we have it. There is an article that you might like to read. It's at Jason Barrett, BSM, Barrett Media, that talks about David Gout ready for a new chapter at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And it talks about Fred's departure, the afternoon show, and David Gout. It has some quotes in there. So if that's what you are looking for, there you go. I follow Jason Barrett on my homepage. It's at Sports Radio PD, at Sports Radio PD. If you want to see what that is all about and get the quotes and whatnot, you're more than welcome to do that. Apparently John McClain, this caught us unawares, or really? Are you kidding me? This is going to happen? He simply tweeted yesterday that Deshaun Watson will never play another down again for the Houston Texans. And scene. And, okay, we knew that, right?
Well, I think we all were under the impression that, yeah, this is over. We're just waiting for some movement with the legal proceedings in the NFL before he officially is no longer a Texan. But if it lasts a year, it lasts a year. But I didn't expect him to take another snap. But there seems to be this push from some people that the Texans, because Deshaun is under contract, they should be forcing him out there to play. So far, if you're looking at practice stuff, he was back at practice yesterday, but he immediately left the field after the media filming session was complete. Like, you know, you get to catch Deshaun for your B-roll, him throwing, rolling out a little bit, and then he was gone. When they turned those cameras off, he was out. Then apparently he came back in just shorts and a T-shirt without pads, so he wasn't going to do anything. So it's a weird, awkward thing, but the Texans feel like they've made a decision about being done with him as far as being an active member of the team.
Yeah. No, this is a mutual decision. I was on with Matt Perrault yesterday. And on the national side over here, they asked me to come on and talk. They're doing 32 for 32, to all 32 NFL teams going around the league, talking to people from each city and whatnot. And he asked, you know, so what is going on? Why are they doing this? And I was like, well, their hand is forced. Deshaun didn't want to lose $50,000 a day, and they don't want him on the field. So what they do is they put him out there, and he plays eighth string safety, or he just goes to the training room and works out. Yesterday, he was out there and apparently getting reps, which means he was throwing routes without any defenders or anything else. And then as soon as that ended, as soon as the video stopped, he was done. He was done with his work for the Houston Texans. And then they went to teamwork, and Deshaun wasn't anywhere around. And he's not getting any reps. He can't take reps away from guys that are going to be on the field. He just can't. So and the Texans don't want to make him better. Whoever they trade him to, eventually he's going to have to play for them. Listen, nothing is going to happen. A grand jury is going to be convened. They're not going to – the best bet is that he doesn't get traded until next year right before the draft. That's the best bet, because a grand jury presses calls for charges to be pressed against him. And then charges are pressed. What, now it's over? No. Now you got a trial. So until that is all decided, that Deshaun isn't going to be imprisoned, until it's all decided what the league is going to suspend him, nothing that's going to happen. That's it. He's going to have to sit. The commissioner will exempt him. He's going to collect his $10 million, sit at home, and give it all to Rusty Harden afterwards. That's what he's going to do.
The man who wins will be Rusty no matter what happens. Deshaun, whether he, you know, I don't say beats the charges, but comes to some sort of resolution one way or the other, and he's able to play football again, Rusty will be the big winner.
Oh, yeah. Rusty's going to make a lot of money. But Rusty, that's what Rusty do. If it wasn't Deshaun, he'd have taken another case that would have made Rusty a bunch of money. Rusty starts at an M. Any of his clients, it starts with an M. No matter how big or how small your case, you're paying Rusty. And this one, with 22 and now potential criminal charges, Rusty's making bank.
So I reference people thinking the Texans would try to get him back in the fold. That came from Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports, and here is what he wrote. They're not taking lowball offers. this is why they aren't being overly communicative with teams. Barring a strong offer, Texans brass will try to get him back into the fold before the season begins. And then that's followed by John McClain's tweet in this piece that he will never play it down for the Texans again. So I don't know where that's coming from Charles Robinson. The Texans aren't operating, at least with Deshaun on the practice field, as if they think they're going to get him back in the fold. Now, things can change pretty quickly. We saw Xavier Howard that he wasn't practicing. Oh, my ankle hurts. Oh, we're giving you more guaranteed money. He's in the first rep of 11 on 11, the next available practice. So that was a money thing, clearly, and that changed, and he'll be in the fold. This is different. I haven't seen anything to suggest what Charles Robinson is saying is true. Sure, maybe they're not going to take a bad offer, but that might have to do with the fact that they know, or at least they hope, that the legal stuff gets cleared up and then the bigger offers will come. I just don't see why they would play him.
No, there's no reason to play him. And Charles Robinson's exactly right.
Charles Robinson's the one who thinks they will try to get him to play.
Oh, they will try to get him to play. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Charles Robinson is wrong. This is a mutual decision. The Texans don't want him as the face of their franchise. This is an organization that's built on Christianity. This is an organization that when I started there in the very first year, that, man, they eliminated Guy Lance, and I talked about this. The guys that they eliminated off their board just on small character concerns, he was like, wow. Other teams are just like, wow, Texans, you're pretty rough, tough about this. And that, I don't know that has changed with the death of Bob McNair. I don't. And especially with the addition of Jack Easterby to this organization, they're not going to have guys that have character, huge character flaws, especially like Deshaun, and is the face of the franchise. It's just not happening. I can see this is a mutual decision. Texans don't want him around. He don't want to be around. Then we're just going to have to sit and wait this thing out. That's all. He ain't playing for the Texans again. He just is not playing for the Houston Texans again. So there's that. All right, 713-780-3776. Your Astros are going to be playing tonight. And, boy, it sure would be nice. Sure would be nice if they could actually play against a bad baseball team. And they got another bad one in there tonight. So we'll talk about these guys who are coming in. You know what they do? They hit dingers, though. These Rockies.
Well, Lewis Brinson, the Florida Marlin in question, who allegedly could have been had an expletive yelled at him, or maybe the fan in attendance was simply yelling at the Rockies mascot, dingers, which is what John's referring to. Lewis Brinson, after hearing the audio, was much like the rest of us the first time hearing it and was like, oh, that guy's using the N-word directed at me. And he said he's heard it multiple times, and that's all. That's what he hears. I understand that, but the Rockies did an investigation and said, after talking to his fan and people around him, that dinger was right. What he was saying.
Well, and you can see, and actually there's video, and you see the guy turning his head and his wife also.
You can see him raising his
hand and trying to get the attention of the mascot. So, listen, we'll talk about that on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I want to talk about these guys over at Aqueduct Plumbing. We've got a lot of nice people that we speak for, and these are a couple of them. This is Billy's company, Billy Brown, and he is awesome, and Mary is awesome, and I'm telling you right here and now, you are going to love doing business with them. First of all, this is kind of a big deal that they don't charge you to come to their house, okay, to your house or your business. If you have any kind of damage whatsoever, if you have old pipes, they can repipe. If you have anything that's going on with your plumbing. I had an issue with a toilet that I thought was just a flapper. Well, I had to have it. The whole thing was redone. They had to take out the whole toilet. And I was like, am I sure about this? Is this real that I have to get a whole new pipe? I didn't know these guys then. Now I know these guys, and I know they're going to come, and they're going to give me a square deal every single time. You will love doing business. You're probably going to talk to Billy. You'll definitely talk to Mary, and they are the best people. You will really love them, I'm telling you. So it doesn't matter where you are either, Galveston, down in Beaumont, up in the Woodlands. It doesn't matter where. They are going to get to you. No matter what your problem is with your plumbing, these guys are awesome. 281-488-6238, AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. Aqueduct Plumbing Company, home of the one-day repipe. They're at your disposal.
ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So yesterday we didn't play the video because these two are wussies. So
I'm not a wussy. I just don't want to get complaints from the FCC.
It wouldn't be an SEC complaint.
What do you mean it wouldn't be an FCC complaint?
It wouldn't be an SEC complaint because the guy was yelling dinger.
It doesn't matter.
It is obvious.
You hear the
word. Listen, I'm looking at a video with Lewis Brinson at the plate, and the guy that's in the very front row of the best seats in the house at a Rockies baseball game, he's turned to the side. He's got his arm raised, and he's screaming, dinger, dinger, okay? No one around him reacted with any horror. No one around. His wife right next to him just is looking that way, the way he is pointed. I mean, there is absolutely zero chance. There is zero chance he was saying the N-word.
They don't know that.
Zero chance.
They don't see the video.
Zero chance. But if we explain it to them, Trey, they could understand that. Obviously, Trey, a case of mistaken identity of a country that is overly sensitive and overly looking and on the lookout for any slightly racial anything that might in any way, shape, or form now. Screaming the N-word at a player at the plate is not slightly or in any way, shape, or form. But this has the video that we're seeing here clearly shows that it wasn't the case.
If somebody turns on the radio and hears that, though?
This is the argument we had yesterday. Yeah. The issue for this particular incident is because we didn't have the breakdown. We didn't see where the fan initially. So the news cycle started with, I can't believe there's a person screaming the N-word while Lewis Brinson's at the plate. So while you may be correct as far as the country and the sensitivity, I don't think this is this case. I just think because the context initially was there's a African-American at the plate. It sounds like he's saying the N-word. We don't see him looking at the mascot. Most people don't know the Rockies mascot is named Dinger. So this, right. So I can't fault anyone initially, but once you are given more information and if you're still leaning into it, then that becomes an issue where you can't just accept that, yes, there may be racism in this – not maybe. There is racism in this country. But in this case, there's just a dude yelling at the mascot.
It's not the case. It's not the case. It's simply not the case. Now, Lewis Brinson listened to it, the batter at the plate, and he says, I still hear it. I hear the N-word. Well, but watch the video. Look at the guy. Look at everyone around him. I can guarantee you by the way, he's not even looking at Lewis Brinson. He's got his arm raised, and he's screaming sections over for the mascot to someone on the side. Certainly it isn't addressed. If he was standing up and screaming at the batter,
yeah.
Wouldn't everyone around be horrified? Honestly. Those white people, and make no mistake about it.
It's white.
It's all white behind home plate.
Yeah, I'm not going to use that as, the people around him would be upset. I just think the context of him not even looking at Lewis Brinson, the mascot being named Dinger, Dinger being in the vicinity, is enough for me to understand why why the Rockies have come to the conclusion that he was not yelling what we thought he was yelling initially. I'm just not going to say, they would have stood up. Well, maybe, but we know Adam Jones. I think the Adam Jones story, when he was being when that word was being yelled at him in Boston, did we hear that there were people around him trying to quiet that fan down? I don't know. It's enough. There are enough things going on in that video to make me believe that it was not initially. It's not what we thought it was initially. It's just unfortunate that Lewis Brinson was at the plate at the time.
Yeah.
And the audio made it sound like, wow, what the hell is that?
Well, yeah, boy, Rocky fan. I thought you guys were like all stoned and cool and liberal and stuff when you're dropping screaming N-bombs at players at the play. It's not the case.
No.
Now, yes, are we at an all-time high, vigilant high of making sure that everyone is racially sound and we're not going to be, and certainly we can pounce as soon as. Now, they're going to find out, Twitter's going to find out who that guy was behind home plate.
Yeah.
And then scour his Twitter pages
see.
And make sure that he never, ever, ever, ever had any kind of racial, because even if he was, okay, he wasn't. He was screaming Dinger, but look at this.
Yeah.
We found something in there. Look at this from when he was 12. So
if that guy had a Twitter account when he was 12,
yeah.
Twitter has been around longer than I ever
much
imagined.
Much longer, right.
There was a clip of an ESPN, highlight show, or maybe a Sports Center or whatever. And I guess because it's national news, a home run was hit. It wasn't the Rockies Marlins game, but the announcer said the N-word and then corrected herself and said Dinger yesterday.
No way.
Yes. I had to find it. I saw it on someone's, I was on someone's Twitter.
Oh,
and she said the actual word and then she corrected
what
herself
game
and
was
said
it?
Dinger. I had to find the clip. But it was simply because she had probably heard this throughout and it was in her mind. Why would you even venture to say Dinger at that point? Just say home run.
Yes.
Just avoid it at all costs.
I don't now. Tyler says I don't hear the N word, but I guess it's possible for people to hear it. Remember Yanni and Laurel? Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. But here's
the
deal:
the woman who said Lakers, but meant to say like, but she put an N instead of.
Yes.
Yes.
It happens sometimes.
Yes.
On live TV.
It
actually.
Happens sometimes. It happened in the South Park episode.
You think that was an accident? A recorded cartoon.
But anyway, so speaking of saying bad things, okay, so the Little League World Series is starting. Now, I've never been, our kids didn't make it when JT was 12, but I know people that have been there. It's a great experience. It's wonderful. All the kids from all of the different places, from all over the different regions, from all over the country, they had giant tents set up. And all of the kids are there eating. And the New York team started a chant. Guess what the chant was that the New York team started at the dinner?
Why don't you tell the people, John?
F. Altuve. Only they were saying
like,
the word.
Like 12 and 13-year-olds?
They're 12. They're supposed to be 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you never know. You can throw in a Danny Almonte.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know. New York, I'm sure, has
sure
got a couple of 15-year-olds. I'm pretty sure that'll happen. I mean, are you got to be kidding me, right? Jose Altuve is being – and it's less than optimal for the coaches there, I know. Because you watch when you're coaching, I coached our all-star team and I coached the regular season team and whatnot. When the kids dropping words at 12 years old, you correct them.
Yeah.
You're like, we ain't doing that around here. Just clean it up. So for all of the, I mean, it was a chant that was resounding through the tents of F. Altuve. It cannot be that Altuve is even the face of this thing and the most hated villain for little leaguers.
How did that come about, by the way? I know he has the home run and then, oh, he's wearing the buzzer,
that's
which
it.
We know is not
that's
the case.
It.
But Correa has been far more boisterous and, telling people to shut the F up. And somehow the quiet guy who goes about his business who – I don't know how many people have seen what we've seen in terms of that report about checking how many times a bang was used when he was at the plate. And Altuve was one of the people who was using it the least and said, he felt like it hurt him up at the plate. somehow he's become the guy because he's a villain for the Yankee fans overall because he crushes their soul. Now he's the face. And you got, look, it's New York, so I'm not surprised by anything their kids are doing, but it's a little much.
It's, I mean, really? At 12, 11-year-olds, maybe there's a 13-year-old or a 16-year-old on one of the teams. That happens. But really, this is the chant at the Little League dinner. What they got? They got Franks and beans.
What kind of dinner is that? Well, Franks and beans.
Well, it's
I would chant F something if I was getting fed Franks and beans.
Aren't they respecting the tradition of the Little League World Series?
That's not what the Little League World Series is all about.
Yeah,
Trey,
read the code of conduct before you get in.
No, I'm pretty sure that the Little League that could be. Trust me. No, the head of Little League is awfully cognizant of making sure that it's wholesome, that it is, well, they can't control of all the cheating because it happens. And I love Little League cheaters in that, I mean, we're trying to teach our kids, you know, and listen, the bylaws and everything else for Little League is about the most important thing is teaching the kids, and what we're teaching the kids is we gotta cheat to win this thing. And oh, by the way, of all of the places, as much cheating as goes on at the Little League World Series, they're the ones going after Jose Altuve. Are you kidding?
Look, I've never coached the youth league, but I played youth sports, and the willingness for adults to sneak some kid who's older than everyone onto the field because you want to win. Is it really a win if everyone's 10 and then there's a 13-year-old playing? Why? Why are you doing that?
Well, it's a win.
It's a win, but why?
But you're teaching your kids that you cheat to win.
But what is the – like, if you're an adult, sure, you want to win at all costs. We know we have the sounder after everything else, win, win, win. But if it's a group of 11-year-olds playing and you decide because the laws are lax to play a 14-year-old to help you win, what is the driving – there it is. What is the driving factor?
Because we want to win. Because we want that title.
Okay. Understood. I understand winning is very important. And I understand. I just, even as a kid, because we had some issues as far as the league, so they had to go to something where you had an ID card with, and everyone had to get their birth certificates checked beforehand, and then a laminated ID card to make sure everyone was of age. I was like, man, because the league was rife with cheating. I was like, that dude, I'm like 12 and that dude has a mustache and I'm playing against him. And this isn't soccer where you can't even wear a helmet to hide things. So I'm like,
yeah,
you got facial hair. I know you're not my age.
Oh, no. There's no question.
Yes.
Now,
understood, Trey.
Trey, we got it.
I understand. Thank you. There are levels to playing the Sounders.
You don't have to pound it home, Trey.
Yeah, understood.
Here, did you guys hear this?
Understood.
Okay. When we come back. And let's see if you agree. Teams that could throw a monkey wrench into the national championship, the playoff in college football. We'll do that on the other side. We got our college football expert here, Dell. So we'll take advantage of that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, let's talk about Lafayette. Yeah, I got the Raging Cajuns over there in Lafayette. I used to be on their broadcast a while ago. I loved when I lived in Lafayette. It was awesome. And I'll tell you this about it. One thing you will never forget about Lafayette is the food there. It was the best place to eat. I've lived in a few places now. It was the best place to eat ever. And you, my friends, can take advantage of that right now. They got something going on called Eat Lafayette where a bunch of restaurants are participating. Go to LafayetteTravel.com, LafayetteTravel.com, and see for yourself where these restaurants are. And you're going to find out where all the music is being played 7 days a week. So you go there, even on a Monday. You want to tell you, I don't know what your days off are. You could be off Monday, Tuesday. I don't know what your schedule is. But here's the deal. No matter what day you go to Lafayette, you're going to find good music, good Zydeco, good Cajun music. It is so much fun. And you're always, always going to get a good meal in Lafayette. Trust me. So if you're looking for a great little getaway, just $85 is the average hotel room. You got a cheap little getaway. Are you staying here? You're not doing anything? Take a little ride down I-10, just three and a half hours away. It's LafayetteTravel.com. That's LafayetteTravel.com.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So Del says we can't play this one either, Trey. On ESPN, are you sure it's Antonetta?
Well, I go to her Instagram and someone on her, I guess she just posted a picture of her getting engaged. She said new beginnings. I don't know. Or maybe it's just her new boyfriend ever. Someone goes, man, how did you accidentally say the N-word on TV? That bleep was on your mind, huh? Shaking my head. Damn shame. You're a wild lady. She responded to this person and said, it was Dinger said Digger by mistake. I would never say that. The audio seems like you said the other one.
Yeah.
But she's disavowing all knowledge.
I was accused of that as well.
Really? I remember that.
Yeah, I was accused of that as well, and I was like, no, didn't say it. And if it was, it was. I wasn't dropping that.
No, it was a confluence of two words.
Sometimes if you mispronounce a word, oh well.
Yeah.
Listen, she clearly says the N word. I mean, in this one, it's clearly, and then she says Dinger afterwards. But Dell doesn't want to play it again.
No.
That's probably smart.
It's a bad idea.
Well, what if it was Digger?
It wasn't.
Well, what if it was Digger?
I understand why she might say that. Maybe she was saying Dinger, or she tried to, and she thought she got out the word Digger.
Right.
But it's been captured, and it's not, from my ears, it's not Digger. We're a
highly sensitive society. Highly
and
sensitive.
Is she
canceled yet?
I haven't heard any news. I typed her name.
She was
and
on this morning.
Up.
So,
yeah. So not. But this was.
Well, this happened this morning. Huh?
This happened 4 days ago.
Oh, is it?
No, I don't know. Someone messaged her a day ago. So it was Pujols homer over the weekend against the Angels. So it's a little bit ago, couple of days ago, and she says no. I said Dinger, except I said Digger first.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. It was an accident. Okay. It's not like she's going to, hey, look at that.
Well, I don't know if you,
I mean, come on.
We don't know what she does.
Well, you know what? I don't know. Trey.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know, John.
Yeah. You don't know. No, you're right. I don't know, Trey, if she just runs around dropping N bombs on everybody. You're right. I don't. She seems like a very nice young lady, Trey. Okay. And you're putting that on her. That she's just running around throwing N-bombs at everybody?
Maybe she's not, but I'm just trying to be contrarian.
Okay. Well, there you go. All right. I got a question for you, Dale.
All right.
All right. So here's the deal. Cincinnati travels to Indiana and Notre Dame. Any chance that this group of five team can throw a monkey wrench into the playoff?
They have a shot because of the schedule. Now, we have to think, do they have the talent to run through Notre Dame, Indiana, and the rest of that conference, which is the AAC? The Notre Dame game, they're both on the road, I believe, the Notre Dame and Indiana game. I think they have a shot versus Notre Dame because I'm not sure I think much of Jack Cohn. Notre Dame doesn't have the receivers to scare anyone, and that's been their major concern. And as crafty as Ian Book was, he wasn't this guy who was going to elevate an entire squad to great heights. He just happened to be, you know, smart guy who could make a couple plays. And Notre Dame rode their defense and their offensive line to a playoff appearance, and we saw what happened once they got there. I think they do have a shot, mainly because they have the opportunities.
Yeah, they've got a couple opportunities there. The Hoosiers have an opportunity too. They got Ohio State at home. Was that a fluke last year with Indiana?
I mean, they have a good coach. But it's hard for me to say that they're going to be a title contender because the talent will tell you no.
No, but do they have a shot to upset anybody again?
Well, they have Ohio State at home.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a shot.
They go to Penn State and Michigan. Not that Michigan's going to be in.
And who knows how Penn State will be. I think they have Ohio State at home. It'll be with the crowd. So, yeah, and if Michael Penix is a full go, yeah, they have a shot.
How about Iowa State throwing a monkey wrench into Oklahoma?
I mean, we should be talking about Kansas State because Kansas State now always beats Oklahoma. But sure, that game is in a Norman, but that doesn't really matter that much in that matchup. It's been pretty close the last couple of years. I would say yes, but this is Oklahoma's best chance since Lincoln Riley took over. You can tell that they think it's their shot because they went out and got transfers from multiple schools. I think they're going to wind up with playing six of those guys. So they believe this is the year. I don't think Iowa State does it, though. I think Oklahoma doesn't allow Ohio State to ruin their year.
Miami. They got Alabama first. Is De'Aaron King too busy doing all kinds of commercials?
Well, he does have a lot of deals going on, but the important part as far as football stuff is he appears to be a full go. If you don't know, he tore his ACL in the bowl game, which was, I think, late December, and he was ready to go the first day of fall practice. He does have a compression sleeve on, but no brace. So as Miami has said all summer and all spring, he was going to be a full go, and he was to start. We'll see. The first hit will determine things, I guess, but so far so good. I would think Miami has a better shot to contend and get their own spot because after Alabama, their biggest game will be on the road at North Carolina. Now, some people think North Carolina has a real shot because they don't see Clemson and they wouldn't see them until the ACC title game. Miami has their own goals in mind. I don't know about beating Alabama, but if they're not blown out by them, I think they can have an A&M type of run. Like, you play Alabama early, you lose. But the rest of the way, you find ways to win. They have that opportunity. So I would be more looking into, can Miami survive the Alabama likely loss and run the table like A&M did? They have an opportunity.
You know, I think North Carolina could probably surprise Clemson in the regular season. But in the championship game, I highly doubt.
Yeah, that's Clemson locked in and ready to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't play each other. North Carolina does have Notre Dame on the road. That's a non-ACC game this year, so they have that return trip they played last year in an ACC game, and they have Miami at home too. I think that team, I won't say overhyped, but I think that team actually's best shot at doing something was last year because they had De'Ami Brown and Daz Newsome and Carter and Williams as their offensive weapons.
They got to transfer Ty Chandler.
Yeah, from Tennessee.
Right.
He should be okay. I just think we talked about this, I think, last week. There's an assumption that their talent, they can just simply replace it and be okay. And Mac Brown has recruited pretty well there, but we're talking about them replacing NFL players. And is North Carolina at that level yet where they can lose four NFL players from their arsenal and be okay? I have my doubts. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Any chance the Aggies throw a monkey wrench with a win? Alabama's here this year.
See, the deal with Alabama is they could lose the game and still – make the playoff. So you mean, because a monkey wrench makes me think you're talking about knocking them out. I mean, yeah, they can win a game at home against Alabama, but this depends on, will the young quarterback and Bryce Young and Bill O'Brien as the OC be a significant downgrade from Mac Jones and Steve Sarkisian? Alabama has 9 new starters. Some of that is about guys from one offensive line position moving over. But if Alabama doesn't have a drop-off, then no. The hope for A&M is there's a drop-off with the OC and with the quarterback and the 9 new starters. But if Alabama's the same as they've always been, A&M's not there yet. They're not. And partly because...
Got a lot of talent now, though.
Yeah, sure. But if A&M doesn't have the quarterback situation figured out, and by figured out, I mean they have a win-because-of guy now and wide receivers who are elite. If they can't match Alabama in that regard, then no, they're not throwing a monkey wrench in. I mean, everyone's biggest hope this year, if you're playing Alabama, is that Bill O'Brien's not as good as Sark, and Bryce Young has growing pains this year, which is possible.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible, and hopefully Bill O'Brien isn't Sark.
I don't need him being.
He wasn't very good at Duke. He wasn't very good at Georgia Tech. He got it going on for
one year
at Penn State.
Yeah, he was fine. 1 year. Yeah, we know he never had a top 10 offense in Houston.
No.
In fact, the offense was better after he got fired. And
much
Kelly
better.
Took over.
Deshaun was much better after he left.
So understand you get the Nick Saban rehab. And so that tends to make guys much better. But Nick Saban, the OCs he's hired before, I would say were more accomplished in terms of what they had done. Bill O'Brien is what he is, partly because he's been attached to Tom Brady for a little bit. So that's always going to give you a little bump. But the other guys, I mean, we see Kiffin in other places, where whether it have been FAU or now Ole Miss, that guy gets it done on an offense. Sark, as an OC, gets it done. Bill O'Brien's been mid at best. And so I think it probably a downgrade. It may just not matter at Alabama because of all the talent.
Yeah. All right. 744 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. SB Nation did a poll about Astros fans and their confidence in this team. Where's your confidence in this team? If you want to get in, 713-780-377. What's your confidence in our Houston Astros right now? Call in or tweet us at John Granato, at DelV2, at Juggalo Trey. Trey Juggalo, Juggalo Trey.
Juggalo underscore Trey 48.
Wow, that's too much.
Why the 48?
Why 48?
Jimmy Johnson's
how many? There were 47 others.
No, he likes Jimmy Johnson, the driver.
Oh, gosh. It's 745 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 749 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. SB Nation did a poll for Astros confidence, fans' confidence in the team. They dropped six of their last eight games. Oh, then their lead is now. Did the A's play last night? I didn't see. Their lead was two games when this was sent out.
The A's did not play.
The A's didn't play. So their lead is still two games. All right. So they sent out a poll to fans, around 30 polls to plugged in fans from each team. Astros fans, if you want to sign up, you can go to SB Nation. All right. The Astros, the average fan, their confidence in this team has waned to from an all-time high on July 13th to where an all-time high looks to be 90-some percent. Percentage of Astros fans confident in the team, 90-some percent, down to the 80% area. It's not precise, this graph, so it's a difficult to say exactly where it is.
So July 13th was the All-Star game. So the last time the Astros had played was Altuve's home run to beat the Yankees.
Yes. So that was when they sent it out. They sent it out again, and now not so much. Fans, not so much. Where are you on your Houston Astros right now?
I'm not worried because they tend to slap the A's around when they need to. So until that changes, until they're in a big series with the A's and the A's take a series and either take over the lead or make it a smaller deficit for themselves, I'm not worried. For whatever reason, this has been the way they've gone about this year. Play the bad teams poorly, and the A's certainly have taken advantage over the last week or so with their recent run. But I ain't concerned when everyone gets back, and hopefully that's soon, where guys aren't having days off, Yuli doesn't have a neck issue, Bregman's back in the lineup, and hopefully it doesn't take very long for him to get back up to speed or actually get up to speed this year. He wasn't good when he departed. This team steps up in big series.
Yep. Yep.
Once if that changes, then I'll change my mind.
Before I get to mine, and we got callers, anybody wants to get in, 713-780-3776. I want to clarify, Kenny says, Kenny Van Doren, that wasn't the Little League World Series, it was a Cooperstown. Every year, Little League teams from all over the country, some AAU teams as well, but Little League, it's mostly made up of Little League teams, go to Cooperstown for the big tournament. That's where that chanting of F. Altuve was, not at the Little League World Series. So I apologize. I was under the impression it was, well, it said Little League player. So I guess I assumed it was the Little League World Series. So it was at the Cooperstown tournament, which we sent teams all the time to the Cooperstown Little League, to the Little League tournament at Cooperstown. It's the same age group. So those kids, it is in Cooperstown. So there are a bunch of New York teams there. And the chant started by a bunch of 12-year-olds. The chant started FL Tuve, which is not a good thing. So back to this team and back to where we are with them. I am not what we know about this team right now is they're streaky. What we know about this team is they step up in big moments. It doesn't matter what the team is. Yes, they've kicked the A's ass, but they've also, you know, they're 5-2 against the White Sox, even though they got slapped around the last time that they played them, those last two games. They did sweep them here. They played the Padres great. They just blew the first game of that series and should have won that series. They played the Dodgers great. They played the Giants tough, although they lost 2 out of 3 there at the Giants. There is no question they played the Red Sox great. We'll see about Tampa. So against the great teams, against the really good teams in Major League Baseball, they're really, really good. They nut up. They're fantastic. And against the lesser teams, they just don't show up. They don't have the same, for whatever reason, they do play down to their competition. It's not even arguable when you look at the record against good teams and bad teams. Unfortunately, they've got a lot of bad teams on the schedule right now. And they've got to pick it up. They've got to find a way to have that same energy, that same intensity, that same focus that they have against the good teams that they just don't have.
And is there anything a manager can do? It's not even my attempt to blame Dusty. I'm just asking, what does a manager do? How can a manager tell a team who he knows steps up when it matters the most to lock in against? Because a baseball, baseball people are like, it's a long season. Would a baseball manager even think to himself, oh, my team's not focused because it's a bad team?
No. And how are you going to send Lance McCullers out in game one against the Dodgers in one of the most highly energized situations that you could possibly have in a regular season game? And then the next time he's out against the Twins at home, he sucks. How do you explain it?
You know, I'm sure a guy who's been in the game as long as us, oh, that's just baseball. Isn't that always the explanation?
Yeah, that's the explanation. Yeah. But this is different. There's something to this. You don't normally see a team. For the most part, you look at most every team, they're lamb killers. There's a reason the bad teams are the bad teams because they lose. And yet when bad teams come here, they win against a really, really good team. It's nonsensical. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Let's get Mr. O in here and his thought. What do you say, Mr. O?
Yeah, baseball is a funny thing. Anyway, good morning, Renato.
Morning.
I think the Astros will win it all. And I think it'll be Dusty Baker's first one. I'm a big Reds fan. I'm just hoping, and I'm still winning right now, but I usually be done at the All-Star break. But I think it'll be Astros. I don't think anybody's going to beat Astros in 7 games. And this still is the best show on the radio.
Oh, appreciate it, man. Thank you, Mr. O.
All right.
Your Reds are playing good baseball, man.
Yeah, he's saying they're usually out of it by now.
Yeah.
They're playing good baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's yeah. Nice. They're actually right there in
they're the they're second just, wild card.
Yeah.
No, the third. Well, they're behind the yeah. Padres, but only, 3.5 back from the yeah. Padres?
Jonathan India's looking good.
Yeah. Well, yes, they're the Guardians.
No, that's his name. It's Jonathan India.
Thank you, Mr. O. Appreciate
well, he's got to change his name to Jonathan Guardian.
No, you don't have to change.
Yeah, he does.
A human being's name because
his name. He's got to. He's got to have to change his name to Jonathan Guardian.
I don't feel like that's going to be a push for him.
Yeah.
Like, hey, sir, your name is offensive.
Yes. And so we're not going to do that anymore around here, okay?
Well, I mean, credit to Mr. O. I mean, it's probably been tough being a Reds fan for the last, I don't know, what, 20 years or so? When's the last time the Reds were good?
The Reds were, well, no, they won, yeah, that's right, in 90.
That's long.
Barry Larkin.
20 years ago.
Yeah, I think they've made the playoffs more recently, but as far as being really good, yeah, you're back to the 90s or so.
Barry Larkin, 1990.
Yeah, the early 90s.
That's 31 years ago now.
Yeah, credit to Mr. O for sticking with them.
That's the first Reds fan I've ever met.
No, you don't know Reds fans?
Not many.
We had a guy who worked here who was a big Reds fan. Jonathan India is good, Trey. What about Jesse Winker?
Streak. Yep, both of them are on hot streaks right now.
Jesse Winker.
So, I mean, just to clean up.
Jesse Winker is actually a good player.
He is pretty good. Mm.
The Reds were, I guess they had to have been. Who knew? The Reds were in the wild card series last year, lost to the Braves. That was that one gamer, right? A one game wild. Yeah, they were in there last year against the Braves. So they weren't bad last year either. But before then, it had been since 2013 since they had made the playoffs. So I don't know if they'll make it this year, but the Padres, I won't say faltering, but they're coming back to the pack, so the Reds are still in it, so that's good. And I do think, I don't know if I'm so sure about the Astros won't lose in seven, but despite what's going on, I still like them in the series. They seem like they're in the Yankees' head, so if not that they'll see the Yankees. The one team I fear would be the Rays, because them playing in Tampa is just like, oh, let's chalk those up as losses. Just give them, let's give them over to the Rays. Any other building or any other stadium in America, I'm good. No. I think the Astros can go and take a game or two in any other place but Tampa for whatever reason.
No, they can't win in Tampa. They just can't. All right, we're going to hear from Coach Culley on the other side right here on ESPN, 97.5. Coach Culley.
Do you think that's a good goodbye?
Oh, John? Oh, I don't know. Well, we can do that on the other side. John wants to say goodbye to Dell.
I'm not going
but anywhere. It's 7:59 right now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're going to hear from Coach Culley.
What is he?
He's an addict?
No.
No.
He's a junkie.
Oh, he's a junkie?
I'm going to tell you about Coach Culley.
Yeah, but Coach Culley.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
He's a junkie.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
We'll hear from the junkie on the other side. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now, I'm talking about my peeps over at Chastang Ford, where, listen, I am a big, big fan. I really am. And I urge you, I don't know if you know dealers or if you dealt with, you probably dealt with a dealer in the past somehow, some way. It's something that is a difficult thing because you're not sure, is this really the best deal that I can possibly get? And I'm going to tell you this right now, that Chastang Ford is going to give you the best deal that you can possibly get. They do this in the commercial industry, which is why they're the number one Ford commercial dealer in the city of Houston. All businesses trust them. Businesses know they're going to get – the bottom line is the most important thing in a business. I want to spend as little as possible, and I want the best service that I could possibly get. And that's exactly what you get at Chastang Ford. I know that also they're going to customize that car or truck to exactly my needs as a business. Well, same goes for the car industry, for the retail business. They're going to customize it exactly how you want it. You order it, it'll get here exactly the way that you want it, and you're going to get the best deal you possibly can every time at Chastang Ford. You do it online at ChastangFord.com, or you get to the dealership at 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastang Ford.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.